East Mississippi and West Alabama's News Talk and Sports Radio Station 1010 MOX, the Big Ten. And welcome back to the morning show. It's a Valentine's Day special with the Tarbers, Paul and Pam. My name is Bill Smith along with...
I am Dumpster Dog, and this is the morning show. And what? They are...
Paul Tarver, the love guru.
And Pam Tarver.
Welcome back, everybody. 693-1891, 693-1010.
You know that song we talked about one time, that people own songs, you know, when they do it so well that nobody else can beat them at it? Van Morrison's got that one.
Well, mm-hmm. he kind of owns everything he does.
I mean, I like Joe Cocker's version, mm-hmm. but Van Morrison owns Have I Told You Lately.
A lot of people have covered that song.
Rod Stewart's done it. Yeah. Bunch of people's done it, but Van Morrison is the best.
By the way, I was looking at the nutrition facts for the Necco Sweethearts over here. Listen to this. Total fat, zero. Sodium, 0%. Total carbs, 28 grams, 9%. Sugars, 27 grams. Protein, zero. That's it.
Well, ingredients. It's pure sugar.
Okay, here you go. Sugar, corn syrup, corn starch, gelatin, modified food starch, natural and artificial flavors, gum arabic, xanthan gum, FD and C colors, red 3, red 40, yellow 5, yellow 6, and blue 1.
But, Bill, you forgot the most important thing. You can eat a whole box of these for 110 calories.
I forgot to mention 22 grams of love. There it is. Okay.
Hey, but it's also produced in a facility that also produces products made from peanuts.
Yeah, that's why they have a warning on there. And if you have trouble with peanut things, you wouldn't want to eat them. But they're still good.
Oh, allergy information.
Yeah.
This product.
Look, this is a Valentine's Day. You don't worry about allergy information. You don't read the allergy information on Valentine's Day unless your girlfriend or wife is allergic to chocolate, which I ain't never met a woman that's allergic to chocolate.
That is true. Okay, we're back.
Maybe they exist, but somebody prove it to me.
Valentine's Day special, and we look forward to hearing from you.
Bigfoot.
Hey, let's go to the phones first. Good morning. You're on the morning show with the Tarvers. Welcome.
Hello, how you doing, Bill?
Shadow.
Hey, Shadow.
I need some information. That piece y'all played after you got back on just a few minutes ago, do you know what was the name of that? Do you know?
Have I told you lately?
By who sung it?
Van Morrison.
Okay.
You can go find a greatest hits album by Van Morrison, and it'll be on it.
It'll be on.
Okay. It's one of his better songs. Right. He's got another one that I was going to bring, but I can't play it because it's too long. It's called Tupelo Honey.
Uh-huh.
That is a phenomenal song, but it's like a six-minute song, and I just didn't want to waste such valuable airtime, with something like,
That was beautiful. Van Morrison, huh?
Van Morrison. Like we were saying, though, you can find there's a bunch of artists that's done it. Rod Stewart did a collection of love songs that included it. But, and Rod Stewart did a good job. Don't let me take anything away from him, but I just can't get over how good Van Morrison does it.
Yeah, get that Van Morrison. If you get I don't know what it is, best of, you'll find a bunch more songs that are good, too.
Appreciate it, guys. And Bill, how much longer before baseball on the radio?
Yeah, what is this? It'd be March, February, I don't know. Let's see, March the 13th, I think.
Okay, can't wait to hear. Always enjoy listening to those games.
Yeah, I think it's the 13th.
All right, can't wait.
All right, buddy, good to hear from you, Shadow.
Have a great day, guys.
See you later.
Thanks, Bye-bye. Shadow.
That's the Shadow. Okay, the Tarvers are on. I want to know how you two met. I have an idea. I just don't know the whole story.
Well, we're sitting here trying to decide who's going to tell the story. I'm thinking she should.
No, you should.
What do you think I should?
I think both of you should. I'd like to get both of
you. She'll correct you if you're wrong, Paul.
You know, my dad does that. I really don't need my spouse to do that too, but it happens.
So y'all met.
We met on the internet.
On the internet.
We're gonna publicly. Well, we never hid it.
Mm-hmm. Well, you've mentioned it on the air before.
Yeah,
we
talked about
it. We met on the internet, and it was totally accidental and nothing planned or anything else. And it wasn't like we went on the internet looking for somebody or anything else. And frankly, at the time, I wasn't recommending it to anybody because back in the day, back in the early days of the internet, it was kind of wild, wild west. It still is, but it was really then because, you didn't know what you'd getting into. But they had a chat program that we independently, I think about the odds of how we got together is so astronomically against this happening.
Right.
There had to be another hand involved to make it happen, but we both had to have the same chat software, which this was the day before AOL Instant Messenger, before all this other stuff. You had to figure out how to install it, get it working. We did all this over like 2400 baud modems. Yeah, there were no pictures. It was all text. Mm-hmm. There were no graphics. I mean, it was really low tech stuff.
But that in itself, I mean, immediately your odds are pretty good that you have a connection there.
No, not really, because what you have to understand is that around the world at any one time there was probably 30,000 to 50,000 people chatting all at the same time. Okay. There were hundreds of thousands of chat rooms that you could go into. In the old days, you picked a room based on the title of that. They call it a room, but everybody that was in that room would would pick it off the basis of the title. And we happened to find one that was called 30's Bed and Breakfast, I think was what.
It started out as 30-something.
And I was 30-something at the time, and she was 30-something at the time. And, in fact, I was early 30-something, and she was early 30-something. And we got in the room and found a whole bunch of people that were the same age that talked about the same TV shows. And, you know, we'd all chat and talk and first one thing and another. And you know, the odds of us both having the same software, ending up in the same chat room, you know, and just and narrowing that list down to there's probably 8 or 10 people that were regulars in that room.
Where were you and where was Pam?
She was in upstate New York, and I was here in Meridian, Mississippi.
Okay.
And, you know, which was not a conducive to a good start of a relationship either.
Now, you had a like a code name or sign name, something you went by on the internet, right? I mean, you don't put your real name out there.
Yeah, at the time I was using the name, it was a kind of a mixture of the first name and the second name of my great-great-great-great-great-grandfather named Alexander King Farah, and I came up with Alec, A-L-E-C-K. And it was, you know, get all funky on me. I capitalized the K at the end, and it looked, you know, different and unique. And it wasn't anybody else named that either thing.
Attention grabber.
Yeah. Pam's was a little different. I'll let her tell her how she came up with hers.
I don't know how I came. Oh, I came up. Bricko was what I was going to use.
Pammered.
Oh, that's right. Back then it was Pammered. A friend of mine, because I had red hair, and he, it was just Pammy red. So we came, put it together, and it's Pammered. And that's how we, just, we were on the.
So Pammered
and Alec.
Alec. Okay, so y'all are in there, and you just start talking on the internet?
Well, yeah, well, it was just, we were on, and because of our time zone difference, and I had children, and so I, you know, I didn't get on the internet till after they went to bed, and I had to work the next morning. And so what happened was I would be signing off about 11 o'clock
Eastern,
Eastern time, which was 10 o'clock Central time, and he would just be getting done with work and stuff, and he would come on the chat room.
So he'd be coming on when you were going
just
off.
About and okay. So just about every time he'd come on for a while, it would be, you know,
sorry,
I'd
I gotta
be
go.
Leaving and he, what was that line you said?
She would say, well, it's time for me to go, I gotta get offline and go to bed or whatever, and I always said, what's your rush?
And
for some reason it resonated.
So we went in a private chat every once in a while. We started talking and would talk, you know, and then it just grew into
in private chat,
3 months of that.
Nobody else can see you, just the two of you, right?
Right.
Yeah, you could have multiple windows open. You could have one window open where you were talking to somebody and you're still monitoring what's going on in the room. So there might be conversations going on in the room. There might be 8 or 10 private conversations going on. You might even have one person that had 3 or 4 private conversations going on with multiple people in the room. And it was kind of a weird situation because you think something would happen in the room, and then you'd talk about it privately differently than you'd talk about it in the room. I mean, it was all kinds of
it's
stuff
like
going on
behind their backs.
So once y'all started talking privately, is that when
it was?
What happened then?
Okay, well, we talked online for about 3 months. Just talked online. We exchanged phone numbers, like a month later, and
never used
them for 2 months.
Really?
And
then we talked, chatted. We didn't talk. We chatted online till 6 a.m. And finally said, I've got to, I had to coach a baseball opening ceremonies the next day, or that morning. I said, I've got to go to bed. And he said he did. And
tell the
said
truth.
Good night.
Tell the truth.
Said good night. And I thought, I'm going to call him and say good night. So I picked up the phone and I called him and I got the answering machine.
Really?
And I started just to say good night on the answering machine. He picked up the phone.
Really?
Yeah, it was pretty freaky.
And we talked for another 2.5 hours.
So the truth is. That
sounds like some kind of movie.
So it the does. Truth is, she made the first call. Because I was, you know, but the reason I didn't pick up was it was so early in the morning,
down.
I thought family was calling. I didn't want to just, like, pick up like I was wide awake, you know, because I'd been up all night. And I had to drive to Natchez the next day, and she was having to do this coaching this baseball thing the next day. And so we were both just out of it the whole next day.
All right, so you pick up the phone, and what happens?
She heard my accent.
Really?
Could you understand him?
Well,
now?
You didn't know he was from the South?
Oh, yeah, but okay. I hadn't talked to him, and he had his radio voice on, and I fell in love, I swear, that moment.
Really?
I don't
His
know.
Voice?
So you like
oh, yeah.
to...
Yeah.
Really?
He has money. He has multiple voices.
Does he?
Yes.
There's
yes.
treatment for that now.
I know.
No, I don't hear voices. I didn't say I hear voices. She said I have voices.
Which okay. one did he use?
I'm a His real radio voice.
Oh, okay.
This is one we're hearing
one
now.
That goes down just a little notch, a little bit lower.
Little
gets a little
smoother.
Gets a little closer to the,
so
the
you heard
Elvis
it.
Sound, you know.
Yeah.
Not that I'm trying to do, you know, Elvis or anything, but it's a little slower.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You enunciate a little bit more. Right. I'm just helping these guys out there who want to try this out. You know, you just lower it about a half octave.
Mm-hmm.
Did you like his accent, Pam, or not?
Oh, yeah. Now I can't remember all that was, but it just struck up conversation, and I guess
talking.
We couldn't stop talking.
So then you start talking on the phone all the time, right?
Oh, yeah. Our
okay.
Phone bills were absolutely outrageous.
So you left the chat room.
No, we still would chat sometimes at night, and sometimes we'd chat on the phone and in the chat room.
Really?
Yeah, the private chat went to the telephone line. There was a time where if you'd had AT&T stock, you'd have done all right.
Should I tell them about how we dated online?
Yeah, you can tell them that.
This is quite different. We would both...
It's okay, Bill. Take a deep breath. It's all right.
Smooth.
It's safe.
Okay. Yeah, it is kid-friendly.
All right, good.
We would go on Friday night. We would go and rent the same movie. Now,
mm-hmm.
remember, I'm in New York and he's in Mississippi.
Mm-hmm.
We would rent the same movie. He would go and pick up Chinese down here. And I would go and pick up Chinese.
Really?
And then we'd get on the telephone, and he would synchronize our VHS tapes. I would turn mine on, and he would put so it was synchronized exactly the same time. And we would sit on the phone, watching the movie, and eating Chinese.
Wow.
I mean, that was our Friday night date night. And
I guess you'd comment on the movie all along.
Oh, yeah, it was just like you were sitting like that right there.
Yeah.
You would comment on the movie, you would talk like you were sitting next to each other.
Did you ever say, be quiet, I'm trying to watch.
I can even tell you a couple of the movies we saw. We saw The American President that way.
Yeah.
Back, not, it's Douglas, what's his?
Michael Douglas.
Michael Douglas. Yep. We saw Dave, you remember Dave?
Mm-hmm.
With Sigourney Weaver and...
a presidential thing.
Kevin. No, it kind of worked out. Those are the two romantic movies I remember right off the top of my head that we watched that way.
Mm-hmm.
And we watched others, but the whole point was is that ostensibly we were doing the same thing together.
Mm-hmm. All right,
we wasn't in the same room, but we were doing the same thing together.
How long did you do that? I mean, I guess that you're dating until you decided it was time to meet.
Well, yeah, it was probably, we were probably online and on telephone, about 8 months total?
Yeah.
There was a moment I have to tell you about, though. There was a moment, and I don't know if she's going to like me telling this or not, but I am. It was probably the moment when it was almost the point of no return at this point. It was like 3 o'clock in the morning because we were real bad about it. We'd get on the phone and we'd both go to bed and talk until the middle of the night.
Mm-hmm.
And I would
almost be passed out on the phone talking to her.
Mm-hmm.
And in one of those moments, she said, for the first time, I love you.
Really?
And I freaked. I didn't say anything. I panicked. My breath stopped. I couldn't say anything. I couldn't do anything. I couldn't respond in any way. And all of a sudden, she started backpedaling. It's like, you know, once you've said the words...
Yeah.
You know, that was a big deal.
Right. Wait,
you know?
So what'd you say? I mean, you didn't say anything?
Well, yeah, not for a long 30 seconds. I was trying to figure out what, you know, I just didn't know what to say. I didn't really, you know, I hadn't got to that point, you know. And I don't even remember how I got out of it, but she was apologizing. I'm like, no, it's my fault. I shouldn't have, you know, I whiffed the ball on this one. I should have been able to give you an answer or respond in some way or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Later, I figured out what was happening, because the next stage in the evolution of the relationship was for us to meet face to face. And so I flew her to Birmingham.
Mm-hmm.
and really these two stories tie together, the fact that she said I love you and that I froze. Well, by this time I pretty well knew that I loved her.
Mm-hmm.
I can't I tell people all the time that when we first met is whenever I fell in love. Mm-hmm. I loved her, but I didn't fall in love until that first time. But
now I'm assuming y'all exchanged photos and
that was back in my
Arab
days when I had a beard that went all the way down my neck and looked like Abdul. And
really,
pretty frightening.
If I hadn't cared for him as much as I did, because I always say I fell in love with him from the inside out.
Mm-hmm.
Because so. I looked at this picture he sent me, and he had beard all the way down to,
wasn't like ZZ Top beard. It was like this black growth that went all the way down my neck. You know, because I thought I was under the impression that you grew a beard because you didn't want to shave. Mm-hmm. I've come to find out that you grow a beard, it's a lot more work than shaving is in general. Sure. Frankly, guys that are shaving are getting off light.
Right.
But the point is that we arranged to fly her to Birmingham, and she was going to come into Birmingham, and I was going to meet the plane, and we were going to meet face-to-face for the first time.
And sitting on the plane and going, she's sitting what am on I the... doing? Am I crazy? Am I insane?
And so I've done picked up flowers, and I've got, you know, I think it was just flowers, and I'm ready, we're going to do this. And, you know, one of these things that we had learned from other people in the chat rooms was that people that had met was you generally knew in the first 15 minutes whether or not it was going to be a long weekend or if it was going to be a good weekend.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, because a lot of times people that was online wasn't necessarily the same person offline.
They weren't who they said they were.
And usually that first 5 minutes confirmed or denied that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So I drive all the way over to Birmingham. My heart's pounding. I'm not sure what's going to happen. You know, I'm nervous about the whole thing. I get to the airport. I'm standing there, big old fat boy, sweating like a dog with these flowers and all these people looking around, you know, walking around the airport. And I'm standing there just freaking out trying to figure out what's going on. The plane's supposed to arrive at 6 o'clock. The announcement comes over the air at 6:05 that the plane's been delayed and she won't get there for another 20 minutes.
Wow.
I'm about to have a heart attack at this point because I'm like, this has got to end. They've got to get that plane on the ground.
Right.
Get her in here, right? So
sure.
I go to the end of the ramp, back away, you know, from the entrance where the people come off the plane.
Mm-hmm.
And all these people are walking off the plane and I'm looking. And I've got a picture and I know kind of what her picture looks like, but you know, I'm thinking, am I going to recognize her? Am I going to, you know, all this kind of stuff? And so she steps off she comes off the plane. I can't see her. She's behind other people, and all of a sudden, I see this head come out to the left side of the crowd, and I see her eyes, and that was the moment when I fell in love.
Really?
Absolutely, no doubt in my mind. That was the moment I was gone. I knew at that moment what I saw in her eyes. I knew at that moment that everything was okay.
What about you, Pam? When you saw him, what were your thoughts?
I wanted to run.
No, I already knew that, you know, I'd fallen in love with him from, you know, like I said, from the inside out. I mm-hmm. could tell after that many months. If you're talking to someone for that long, and we could talk, that mm-hmm. was the whole thing right there. We could sit on the telephone for the amount of hours that we did,
mm-hmm.
and there was no dead air. You know, you just absolutely could talk constantly.
Right.
And, you know, and he had the smile on his face, and it was just, I don't know, I'd already fallen in love with him. So I knew, you know, but...
I got to tell you, though, one of the things you have to determine whenever you meet somebody the first time in that type of environment, mm-hmm. one of the biggest questions you have in your mind is, when they get off the plane, do you shake their hand or do you kiss them?
Mm-hmm.
We had that discussion.
So we actually had the discussion. We didn't know what we were going to do.
It was
all about what happened.
Oh, you talked about it before you did it?
Well,
oh, yeah, we did.
We would. I'm not sure everybody else would.
We talked about everything.
But you know, that was one of the things. I'm standing at the end of the runway wondering if I'm going to recognize her. Mm-hmm. Also trying to decide whether I was going to kiss her,
mm-hmm.
you know, get that out of the way because it was just killing me.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I'm just a bundle of nerves. I was like standing there with these flowers, you know, probably gripping the stem so bad they were all just – but what was so funny was the look on the people's faces as they got off the plane.
Mm-hmm.
I know they probably assumed that I was a spouse or a significant other or something waiting for somebody to get off the plane. What they had no clue was is that this was the first time we were face-to-face,
mm-hmm.
right? And so I'd get all these smiles from the ladies as they got off the plane going, oh, ain't he sweet?
Really?
Yeah, and all the guys would get off and go, man, I wish I'd have thought of that,
yeah.
you know? And so I was getting really cool looks, you know? But then as soon as I saw her eyes, I was like, we're going with the kiss. We're going for the kiss.
And there you go. Well, you do understand that this is very, very foreign to most people. Most people
What's
don't.
What's foreign? A kiss?
No, meeting on the internet.
Oh.
And like I guess Pam says, you learn to love somebody from the inside out because, you know, for most people, seeing somebody is the initial attraction.
That's right. And it is the exact reverse. And I'm, you know, we're honest mm-hmm. with each other. I mean, let's
maybe
just
this
be
is
honest
a better
here.
Way.
Well, I don't know that it's better for everybody. I know it was better for us. I mean, you know, I'm sure, and she's even said this, and I don't want people to misunderstand this because I don't take this in a bad way. Had we met face-to-face, I'm not sure we would have necessarily been attracted to each other
mm-hmm.
or gotten to the next phase.
Well, you got to know each other.
That's right. We got to know each other intensely mm-hmm. on the phone about our families and
right.
who we were and what we liked and what we disliked. All of that stuff had been was out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
It was almost like meeting face-to-face was just a relief. Mm-hmm. You know, you just get that over with. It was not as big a part of it. It's hard to say because the relationship was so far along, and yet, like I tell you, she had already decided that she was in love. I have said it, and I said it once, and I'll say it again. I loved her, but I was not in love until that moment. In other mm-hmm. words, and it wasn't so much an attraction to her appearance or anything else, but it was almost her reaction to seeing me.
Well, did you ask her to marry you right then?
No.
And that's another story.
No. That's another story for another hour.
So that came later?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That
How
was
much
a lot
later?
About 2 years, wasn't it? No, a year and a half. Yeah.
How many times did you get to see one another before you decided to pop the question?
Well, no. See, I
well,
moved here before that.
Bill, you're jumping ahead in the story.
Well, I've got a few minutes before the break.
How about the story about deciding to end up coming here?
Well, you know, like any relationship, we had our ups and downs. We mm-hmm. reached a point. Of course, after we met, we had another opportunity. We met. We flew up to Grand Rapids, Michigan. I had a business trip up there, and she mm-hmm. came over to there, and we spent the weekend together and had. You know, you try to find opportunities like that. I flew to New York at one point to kind of see where she lived and everything else. And so we were sort of gradually learning each other's lives. And we finally reached a point where it was too hard. It was too far. It wasn't going to work.
Right.
I had kids.
Pam had kids. She mm-hmm. had family.
Mm-hmm.
All my family.
I had decided in November of that year, this would have been 96, I guess, I had decided that I was going to send her diamond earrings for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
I was head over heels at this point. I was gone.
Right.
Out of here.
Yeah.
Boom.
Yeah.
You know, on the moon. And so I had bought the diamond earrings, and I had them ready to go and everything else. And we had a long, hard conversation that ended up with us, I don't want to say breaking up, but deciding that it wasn't going to work.
Mm.
That it was too far.
Mm-hmm.
And so I sent her the earrings, and I told her that I wanted her to open them on Christmas morning, and I called her, so when she opened it, I would be on the phone with her. But mm-hmm. we had several conversations since that time, and nothing was changing. I mean, it was too far, wasn't going to work, you know. And she opened the earrings and was all excited and everything, and she got a little upset and teary-eyed, I think, that morning, because it was the whole bittersweetness of the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I decided to write a letter, and I wrote a letter to her family, or to her sister, and said, okay, family is important. She needs to be with her family. She wants to take care of her family and help them out, and if that's the case, then there's some things that you need to do for her. Sometimes you need to be strong for her. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you need to let her rely on you. Sometimes you need to bake her chocolate chip cookies. You know, it was just my whole credo of if I was gonna give this up,
mm-hmm.
this is what they needed to do for her.
You wrote to my sister.
This is what I wrote to her sister. Never dreaming that her, you know, this was supposed to be private between me and her sister. Of course, as soon as her sister got it, first thing she did was fax it
sure.
to Pam.
Right.
Man, you know, I can't believe you didn't know that.
It's the way sisters
that's
work.
The way it goes, man.
Well, being an only child, you don't always know these things, right?
Right?
So I wrote this. This was a good letter. I'm going to tell you, I wrote a good letter.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was good. And apparently, by February of that year, of that next year, 97, what was it? I don't know.
I was on the phone with my sister, and she asked me what was going on with Paul. And I said, Not much, just loving each other. That's it. You know, there's nothing more. And she's the dead. I can still remember the day. Dead silence on the in the phone, and she said, "Why don't you go to him?" And I went, "What?" And she said, "If you love each other that much, you're missing out on something. Why don't you just go to him?"
Mm.
And that's what it took. My sister and I still are very, very, very close.
Mm-hmm.
So when we made the decision, I told my mother, and my mother cried for 2 months.
Because you were leaving.
Because I was leaving. Mm-hmm. She just was very upset.
Well, and they still weren't sure of me. I'm not sure they're sure now, but it was a nerve-wracking thing.
Paul's their favorite son-in-law now, well, because the other two are gone.
Yeah, well, I'm the only son-in-law. So. You know, attrition will get you a long way in life.
But in February,
we started making the arrangements and the plans for her to move to Mississippi. And, you know, then it was come down here with the idea of getting married. It was come down here and see how it works together.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Across the parking lot from each other.
Yeah, and so it was about...
We didn't live together.
It's one thing to have a relationship that's 1,100 miles apart.
Yep.
It's another thing to have a relationship across the street from each other.
Indeed.
Okay, and so we had to go through that phase of real dating, mm-hmm. you know, where you go to dinner on Friday night, you go hang out, you do all of the stuff. But then we'll tell you about the idea about the marriage thing after that in the next hour, because we're running out of time, and I really want to get this song in.
Okay.
One of the things I got to tell you about internet.
What number, first?
Well, the number is going to be number 15. We on internet chat, one of the things you could do is you could take segments of songs and send them to each other, and then you could issue a command, and it would play on each other's computer.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the most romantic songs I found was not one that had any lyrics in it at all, but it had a saxophone that just was out of this world. It's actually from the soundtrack from Blade Runner. It's the love theme from that. And I took a segment of this and played this constantly to her and to myself and everything else. So I'd like you to play this. This is one of the more romantic songs that I came across. Track number, what did I tell you?
15.
Number 15. And y'all enjoy it. Think about the story. This is it sort of symbolizes the long distance, some of the bittersweet things are associated with long distance romance and everything. And enjoy.
All right. It's the Tarver Valentine Day special right here on the Big Ten MOX. Thank you.